It's good to see this number this morning on this, I guess it's the first day of spring, they're saying, but it kind of looks like a little bit of a revisitation of some winter weather. It got awful cold and windy this morning compared to yesterday. But I tell you, I guess maybe they'll dry up some of the rain or what have you, the moisture and everything. But it is so good to see you this morning. It's good to see the collegians and the young people, just everybody here. If there's any visitors, just make yourself at home. And I've had a real burden preparing this message this week. I guess sometimes maybe we remember it preached on a lot, or I do, growing up when I was younger and what have you. But it seems maybe as time goes on, when we look around, we see things that discourage us. And so I think a lot of times to try to help people and be an encouragement to people, you look for maybe messages that are just that, those that would encourage a person and try to uplift their spirit. But you know, the reality of it is this morning, when you look at this, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 31 and talking about reality. This morning I do want to preach for a few minutes on the reality of hell and what that truly is, or the account that we have here in the Bible. Brandy and I were talking last week, and it really hit me. Sometimes you don't know what people are thinking about, and we had kind of watched some movies about the Lord, just different things. It's hard to find good things to watch on television anymore, and it's been that way for years. But from time to time, we try to find Christian-based movies and what have you. And I was talking about salvation, and you know, Brandy just kind of out of nowhere to me, she said, Jason, if people, Christians, truly believed in hell like they say they do, then how do you sleep at night? You know, I got to thinking about that, church, and you know, it's been on my heart every week. And you know, as time goes on, Brother Nathan, and I thought about it this way. You know, how many of you know somebody in heaven this morning? Amen. But would it not stand to reason that we would know somebody in hell this morning? Ever thought about it that way? You know, we think about the lighthearted things or the good things sometimes to try to keep our minds uplifted and get our minds off the bad things. But the reality of it is this morning, there are people in hell wishing that they could be out, wishing that they had another chance to come back here to see their family, their friends, or to tell other people, don't come here. Don't come here. You don't want to be here. But I want to preach just for a few minutes on this topic, the reality of hell. We'll go to verse number 19. It says, and there was a certain man. I want to stop right here and say, you know, there are parables in the Bible, but I do not believe that this is a parable. This is an account. I'll say it like this, there's no other, in quotations, parable in the Bible that actually gives a proper name of a person. Lazarus is given here. Lazarus is given in this account here. But it says, there was a certain rich man, which is clothed in purple and linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's this great gulf fixed, that so they that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, I would thou wouldest send him, that thou send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. It's an opportunity. It's a time that we can slow down. We can focus on you. We can push the outside things that are going on in our lives, push those things out, Lord. We need to do that here this morning. This isn't a time to rush through. It's a time to get in and slow down and just listen, listen, listen to what your word is saying to us, God. You speak to us from your word. You teach us. You show us. You guide us. You show us how to get to heaven through your word, Lord. And that's what this account about is here this morning. The reality of hell, what people are experiencing this very minute, God, because of choices that they have made. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here. Everybody here has an opportunity this morning, God, and I just thank you so much for that. Lord, I thank you for not being in pain this morning, God, but Lord, having a burden for those, Lord, that are lost. God, I pray that this church never lose that, that we never lose sight of that, God, that it would be the God that we would need it to be, to have the burden that we're supposed to have and never lose sight of that, God. Without a burden, what are we going to do? Will we take it as far as we need to? Will we be consistent with it as we ought to be if we do not have a burden, God? I pray everyone here, Lord, have a burden. Lord, if anyone here this morning that's lost, God, I pray you touch them, convict them, God, help them to see their need of you this morning, that you, Jesus, is our only advocate, your only hope, our only chance. God, I pray that you be with each one this morning. Lead us and guide us, be with this church. Help us all, God, keep a hedge around us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We see this here in verse number 19. This particular rich man is what is being, how this starts out this morning. And this is Jesus speaking here. He's talking to them. He's trying to explain things to people, give them illustrations. We see that all throughout the Bible, illustrations given so people can see things and think about it and comprehend on it. I think sometimes we just kind of go too fast with things and we don't slow down and think. I say that a whole lot. I noticed one of the things I've said before is, think about that. Think about that. Our minds go so fast that we don't think about things so much anymore. I think we look for the next thing, and we're not slowing down. This requires us to slow down and think. I remember when I was lost, when I was young and growing up in church, you know, I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. It was several years. But that seed was planted and it kept growing, and I would learn more and I would think more about it and understand a little bit more about it, and it grew and matured to the place that I knew that I needed salvation, that I wasn't okay. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're not okay. I've got to be honest with you. I would not like to go to a doctor who just continually told me I was okay and knew that I had a problem and never would show that to me. As a preacher, it's my obligation to tell you, if you're here this morning, you're lost, you're not okay. But there is a remedy. There is a remedy. You have a choice. You have an option this morning. And we see how things can keep us from making the right decisions. There was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. This man didn't live out of, where am I going to get my next meal? It is, what do I want next? He didn't live out of his needs. He lived for his wants. Anything he wanted, he had the means to get it. You know, if I were the devil, that's how I would like to paint things for people. Let you believe that you have all the means to chase after things that don't even matter. But in our human minds, we think they do. What do we normally teach? You know, and I'm saying this respectfully, but we think about it. There's absolutely importance in education, following those things. But as parents, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we get so consumed in trying to make sure our kids have good jobs so they can make big money and have less worry. Is that not so? Parents growing up, what has been probably one of your most biggest worries? Money and the lack thereof. If I had more money, then I could have more things and have less worry. Is that not how we think? Is that not what society and all these commercials, all these things we see on TV, is that not where our minds get at? And you land a big paying job, or maybe you get out of school and you land a big paying job and you think, now I can live sumptuously. I don't have to worry about debts and bills like my parents did. I can live good. The rich man, he's not living good now. He lived sumptuously every day that he woke up and every day that he got up. It wasn't a matter of, I need something, I want something, and he went and got it. Not today. See, this life is temporal. We don't know. I don't know how many days I have. You don't know how many days you have. But it's temporal. Wouldn't you like to place your life in a sure thing? Not just a temporal thing. How many of you would like to live sumptuously for 10 years, never having to have a worry for 10 years? You could have anything you want in 10 years, but knowing after that, it's all going to be gone. Would you want that? Would you want that? Would you like to live for 10 years? Would you like to live for 20 years, 30 years with not worrying about anything, not any debts, but knowing in the back of your mind when that 30 years is over, I'm not going to have any of that. I'm going to have to face reality. Well, I tell you, this world keeps our mind away from reality. It keeps our mind on things that we have no control over. I don't have control over what's going on in the Ukraine. Am I burdened by it? Yes. Am I concerned about it? Yes. But what can I do aside from pray about it? You think about all the things that your minds could be on this morning and the good things and the bad things that maybe you do not have any control over. But you know, you do have control over this morning if you want to accept Christ or not. You have control over that. The rich man had control of this all these years. So he had to turn around and he's facing reality. When the Lord was giving this here, he said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had everything he wanted, everything he needed, but he didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't looking to that. See, it's easy to have our minds on the good things. Preacher, you're getting me awful down this morning. I don't want to be down. I'd rather you be down today and the Lord lift you up and you never have to look back on that. This could be the best day of your life. Amen. The day I got saved was the best day of my life. Then Josh, seeing Josh born and getting married to Brandy, that's my best days. Could you imagine that was only your best days? Knowing that the reality of hell is coming. Boy, I always like something to look forward to. In this day and time, me and Mom, we like to have days. We'll get together. We went out yesterday. We drove down to Hickory and talked, just have days. We like to have things to look forward to. But if you're lost this morning, you don't have heaven to look forward to. You have the reality of hell. Boy, I tell you, that's not good to talk about, is it? It's not. I tell you, I had a friend. We were talking some time back, and everybody knows about, I guess it's probably about phased out now, but The Walking Dead. They were talking about that show and how these people were. And I said, you know, in the Bible, it does talk about people wanting to die but can't. I said, that's a scary thought. Scary thought to see what the tribulation is going to look like. And one of my friends, he said, let's stop talking about this. This is scaring me. Praise the Lord, we need to talk about it then. You need to think about that now. If you don't think about it now, you'll have all eternity to wish that you'd have done something else. You'd wished. We'll see what happens here with the rich man. Verse number 20, it says, and there was a certain beggar. Well, this certain beggar, he had a name. His name is Lazarus. Lazarus means God is helper. God is my helper. That is so true this morning. Named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He didn't have a good life, a good physical life. He didn't have the things. He lived from meal to meal is what you're seeing here. He just wanted the crumbs that fell from this rich man's table. That's all he wanted. You look at the lives we live today, we are so blessed. Here in the United States, the things that we have, the things that we have access to, the salaries and things that we have access to, but I don't even think we appreciate that. We just think that's what we're supposed to have. We're entitled to it. We expect it. Just give it to him. We're so blessed that sometimes we can't even see the reality of these bad things because we're so blessed, because the Lord has blessed us. He's been so good to us. My goodness. Just being here this morning, what an opportunity it is. That's the Lord's mercy and grace upon us this morning, just being able to be here. We could be in the hospital. We could be in jail. You could be in the middle of a serious surgery. You could be in immense pain, like what we're seeing here. People that's in hell this morning, but you're here, comfortable, outside of the breeze. You can listen. You can focus. And I felt the Spirit here this morning. He is wanting to move this morning. He's wanting to do something for you. And I believe with all my heart, you know who that is this morning. But Lazarus, he laid at the gate full of sores, just in pain, just a miserable life. I look at it this way. He had the hope for a better day. But you know, how sad would it be to live a life like this and not even have a hope for a better day? Imagine your entire physical life being full of sores and pain, knowing that all you had left at the end of that was eternity in sores and pain. My goodness, this speaks to the rich people, the poor people. It speaks to all people. It speaks to every single one of us. I was studying over this, and a lot of times I look at it and say, well, this is for the lost people. This is for the saved people just as much as it is for the lost people. If you've been looking for a reason to shout this morning, this is it. You don't have to go. You don't have to go there. The Lord's made a way that we can escape this. But you have a choice. You see here, Lazarus, he didn't have any money. He didn't have any claim to fame on this side of eternity. He had none of those things. He just desired, verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He was the lowest of the low. A lot of times, we look at the rich man. The rich man probably looked down at him as he walked by every day. They saw each other. They were around each other because you see that later on in life or later on in eternity when it's discussed. They saw each other. But how many times did a rich man just walk past Lazarus, not do a thing for him? This is speaking to the people that can do something for somebody also. Is there somebody that you need to reach out to? Remember a minute ago when I was saying that, you know, about knowing people in heaven? Well, I would absolutely believe that we would know people in hell. Is it somebody that we could have witnessed to? We're responsible for that. You know, the Bible says those that we were supposed to witness to, and I'm paraphrasing, but their blood is on our hands if we don't. Preacher, I'm too busy. I got things I got to do today. If you don't mind, hurry it up because I've got family coming and I need to cook. Got things going on. It's March Madness, first day of spring. We got other things to think about, don't we? Eternity is forever. It doesn't stop. I mean, it doesn't stop at all. The longest day that we've had here is nothing. Our entire life, James says, is just as a vapor. Gone. I look at my 45, almost 46 years, and I can't believe it's went by that fast. And that's nothing compared to eternity. You imagine just torments. I can't compare hell to anything. Nothing. I have nothing to compare. I think about times that I had back surgery or had to go to the dentist and think about things like that. Boy, what a dread that was. But I knew that there was a way to mask the pain. There was something that could be done to cover that pain and fix that pain. There's nothing that could be done in hell. Nothing. Nothing. There's no masking the pain there. It's just continual. We see Lazarus, the life that he had here. The dogs just licked his sore. That's how his sores were taken care of, just by the animals that would come by, the dogs that would come by. Look at verse 22. It says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That's something I hadn't really noticed before or thought about. But with Lazarus, it goes in pretty quickly. It says that he was carried away. You know, back in this time, there, if you study out hell, you'll find the word Gehenna. You'll find the word Hades. You'll see the word Sheol. You'll see different Old Testament words or words in the Old Testament that describe this. And so when I see this here, there was the Valley of Gehenna, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That was an old trash heap. That's where they took all the trash from that area in that valley. And they set it on fire. They created a fire. And so as trash was needed to be dumped or bodies of poor people that couldn't afford to be buried, they would take them and they'd throw them in that fire. That's how they got rid of those things, the trash. You know, it reminds me, it made me think here, that fire just continued on and on because there was always trash. There was always poor people dying. There was always, so that fire, nobody, they didn't have to relight that fire. You know, in hell, that fire does not have to be relit. It burns continually because there was always trash. There was always something that needed to be discarded. Bad, no works, no good works. So that's why hell keeps burning also. No good works. It just burns continually. And that's what happened here. See, that's what happened to Lazarus' body. But you see what happened to his spirit. He was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Could you imagine what that would be like? You're in immense pain. You're facing some things that is hurting you physically, mentally. You're facing that. You blink your eyes and all of a sudden, what is going on here? Who are these? And I'm not hurting anymore, and I'm being carried away by angels. That would be something to experience for any single one of us. But you imagine him. No money, no claim to fame, but all of a sudden, I'm not hurting anymore. I mean, immediately, it happens that quick. The rapture is going to happen that quick. Death happens that quick. You cross over. I thought about that. What if I were to pass away in my sleep? What would it be like to go to bed at night thinking about all the things you need to do tomorrow and all of a sudden you wake up and like, where am I at now? Imagine being in heaven in the presence of God. What you'll see here, this is an Old Testament account because this is paradise. I want you to see what that is this morning. They didn't go to heaven at this time. They went to paradise. That was in the center of the earth. That's a lot to take in. I remember I had heard somebody talking about these writers, Christian writers, and they were talking about what are things that confound you in the Bible. I mean, if I called the names, you'd probably know them. What things confound you in the Bible? And one of them said, well, you know, did Lazarus really want to come back? When Jesus raised him from the dead, did he want to come back? I was like, well, Lazarus wouldn't have been in heaven at that time. He was actually in paradise with the saints. Think about it. It's a lot to take in. Study it and see these things. See what it means here. But he was in paradise this morning. It said, Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. See, the rich man had enough money for his body. There was enough money for him to be buried. But we see what happens here, verse 23. We see what happens to the rich man. And it said, in hell he lift his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Just like we were talking about Lazarus there, him opening his eyes in heaven. You imagine going to bed, going to sleep, passing away in your sleep and waking up in immense pain and torment. What is going on? So I think people question sometimes. I think people really question the validity of hell, the reality of it. It's easy to think about good things, is it not? It's easy to think about how wonderful heaven is going to be. Well, hell is going to be equally worse. We need to spend time thinking about that today. You've probably heard this said, but I'll say it. There are no atheists in hell. Amen. If they could tell you today, I don't know how else more convincing that would be. But see, you got a chance. You got a choice today. There's no coming going away from that. But it says here again, verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, immense pain, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He saw him. He's like, I know him. Look where he's at today and look where I'm at today. Look how this change took place. You know, maybe it went through his mind. You know, if I'd have stopped and checked on him and talked to him, he might have told me how to get where he's at. You imagine what's going on in the minds of people in hell this morning. You think about that, knowing that there is no escape. No escape. And I see here the name that is given here. That's one of the things in this account here I've always wondered about is how come the rich man wasn't given a name? Why wasn't he called by name? Lazarus was. Why was it not the name? Revelation 21 and 27, when I put these together, it says here, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, Lazarus, he's got a new name. He's got a name. His name is numbered. You know, I remember being in a prayer room one night, and we were talking about that, having a new name written down, a name written in the Lamb's book of life. We were praying, and Brother Nathan, I was like, my name's here. And I could see it on the page, church. I could see my name on the page, and man, that was real to me. Can you see that? Is your name written down in the Lamb's book of life? Does he know you? You see, and then I thought about that rich man. There's no need for a name in hell. There's no need. There's no need. The name you have now, what you think you're trying to maybe build up, you're trying to have a good reputation or build your name or whatever, if you die and go to hell, that name is nothing. See, you need that new name written down. There's a new name written down in glory. Isn't that what the song says? You need a new name. I need a new name. You have a way to do it. I think about that, how that rich man, this morning, he is there. He would trade places with anybody here if he could. You see what he's asking for here. His mind is thinking, how can I get out of this? How can I feel better? And then how can I keep people from coming here? I don't want anybody to come here. Well, I tell you, separation from those that you love. My favorite thing is to be with my family. Be around those that I love. That's my favorite thing to do. Sit and talk, maybe eat, joke, play games and what have you. That is my favorite thing to do. But you see here, the rich man's not saying, I want those people with me. He's saying, I love them too much. I don't want them with me because this is that bad. As bad as that separation is, I'd rather them go on to heaven than to be here going through what I'm going through. I don't want that for them. I love them too much. I love them too much is what he is saying. Verse 24, and it says, and he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So that's a fire. You look up the word flame, that means a blaze, a burning vapor, torment, pain. You know what I've heard a lot of people say about hell? Oh, that's just separation. That's just a dark place. That's just being separated from God in darkness that you can't see anything. Let me tell you, hell's not being locked in a dark room that you can't see. And it's not going to the Linville Caverns and just being stuck in there. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Now fill Linville Cavern full of flame too. Don't kid yourself. The Bible teaches too much about the reality of hell and what it is for us not to believe that. Say, it can't be that bad. Does God really send people to hell? No, he's never sent anybody to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. But we have a choice. You have a choice. You have to accept Jesus or not. When you approach Jesus, when you see him, he's probably different, definitely, I'll say it that way, definitely different than anybody else. Some people you might meet on this side of eternity, you can say, I can take that person or leave them. You have to do something with Jesus when you meet him. When the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, you have to do something. You do one of two things. You accept him or you deny him. That's the only two things you can do with Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground in between that. You have to do something with him. We see here the rich man, he is tormented in the flame. He is trying to seek out some kind of relief. But Abraham here in verse 25, he says, but Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things. You think about today, the good things that you've received, what the Lord has done. This is that day for you. This is that day for me. This is going back in time. Remember that day. Remember that day that you were at Mount Lebanon Church and I was knocking on your heart. I was saying, you need a Savior. You need to be saved. Remember that day. Today's the day to do something with that. I would not let it pass. I remember as a young child, Preacher Carl saying many times, the older you get, the more callous your heart will get. And I was so afraid that my heart would get so hard that I wouldn't listen. I couldn't imagine being my age today and being lost. I don't know where I would be or if I would even be, to be honest with you. I'm thankful that God got to me. He touched my heart and he convicted my heart when I was young, when my heart was tender and it wasn't hardened. You need to take note of that today. As life goes on, a lot of times it just gets harder. That heart can get harder. Things can be more severe. I don't want you to be callous this morning. Abraham, again, talking to the rich man, he said, remember that thou in thy life receivedest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. You remember how that hard time that he was having in his life and how you were faring sumptuously every day? My, how things have changed. I don't think Abraham was rubbing it in his face. I think he was just being honest with them. You see, I, as a preacher, being up and you see everybody looking at you. Brother Tim, Brother Bill, different ones, teachers, they can appreciate this. You know that verse in the Bible that says, don't be afraid of their faces. I'll give you what you need when you need it. There's a reason. There's sometimes you get up preaching, you can see people like, I don't believe with that. I don't agree with that. Is he lost his mind? You say, but the truth is the truth, and you need to hear the truth. For me or whoever it is. But you have to do something with it. You have to do something with that this morning. It'd be easy to try to just say a few encouraging words and pat on the back and go down the road, but that's not what the gospel teaches. You think about what the Lord and Savior did for us on the cross. But the Lazarus, he received evil things in that life, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Things have changed. The roles have reversed. That's what he's telling him. He's being real with him. He's being honest with him. The rich man, all he can say is, Abraham, you're right. You're right, but I want to do something. I want to get out of this. What can I do? Verse 26, it says, and beside all this, between us and you, there's this great gulf fixed. You think about hell, Hades, Sheol, the way that's described in the Old Testament. You think about paradise. Once upon a time, they were side by side in the center of the earth. There's a time I didn't look up the verse, but you can look it up and study it. I want you to see this. It's good for you to go back and see it. There was a time after the Lord and Savior, after he died and went to the cross, you know where he went? For 3 days and three nights, Brother James, where'd he go? Amen. He went to paradise, and he led away captivity captive, did he not? All those that was in the center of the earth, all those Old Testament saints, you go back from where would you go? Probably about Abel all the way up to that thief on the cross, Brother Tim. Where are we going? We're moving. See, they moved out of that, but also hell enlarged itself also. I believe you go back and study that out, Brother Tim. I believe you probably have or maybe know, but you go back and study that out. I believe that's making more room in hell, that pit, that holding place. You see, that's not even it. Death, hell, and the grave actually gets thrown in the lake of fire at the end of Revelation when you go and you look at that. It does not get better for the lost person, but it gets absolutely marvelous for the saved person. My goodness, how to look at that this morning and just really focus on that. And it says here again, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, we cannot send somebody to you. You cannot reach out to that person. We don't know people's hearts, but you can't go to that person that's in hell, and that person in hell cannot come to you is what he's saying here. Neither can they pass unto us that would be from thence. There's no going back and forth. This is a one-time occurrence here, allowing us today to see the reality of hell and what it looks like. You know, when you think about heaven, there's only three people in the Bible that talk about heaven and what it looks like. Jesus, John, and then also Paul, where he was called up into the third heaven. You see, we do have real life accounts of what these places look like. But the half has yet been told about heaven. But you see, I've seen enough of the reality of hell this morning that I know I wouldn't want to go there. If I was sitting back there today and the Lord was convicting my heart, I wouldn't even wait for Brother Nathan to get a song. I would get here as fast as I could knowing what I'm escaping this morning. I tell you, that first step is the hardest. I remember when I got saved. I know I've given my testimony before, but it's my witness. We're supposed to be a witness, but I remember. I was young. The first time when I was 8 years old, I wouldn't say I made a false profession. Somebody came to me and they said, don't you want to be saved? And logically, I said, yes. All you got to do is go up there and ask him. Well, I didn't know I was lost yet. I was so young, I didn't understand what it meant to be lost. About 4 years later, when I was 12 and Preacher Carl was preaching, I don't even remember the message, but I know Mom and Dad remember the day because the Lord had been dealing with me all day long about how I needed to be saved. The Lord's been dealing with you before you got here. I feel confident of that this morning. Amen? But I remember I was sitting there and we went through the service just like any other service. Wanting to be saved, but feeling that conviction at the same time. I didn't know how to handle conviction. I wanted to run from it. So we went through and we had our two verses. That's how they used to do it at Mountaindale. You probably remember. You know, you have an invitation, you have two verses. We get so used to things, routine. So I knew if I could sing this verse, I was sitting in the choir, if I could sing this verse, I can get out and I can get away from this conviction. I can get out from underneath it. Praise the Lord. I tell you, we did that and my heart was pounding out of my chest. I was sitting in my little corner spot back there at Mountain Dale, and I was just praying, Lord, I just want to get out of here. If I can just get through these two verses, I can get out of here. Got through those two, and I was getting ready to fold my book up, and Brother Earl was sitting back in the back. Brother Norman, you'd know about where he'd sit in Mountain Dale. He sat back there, and he said, Brother Clint, I think somebody needs one more verse. I thought, my goodness. Well, we all know who that is, don't we? I mean, that's how I felt. I mean, it is. Brother Nathan, I just folded my song book up, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't fight this anymore, and I don't want to. But you know, the second I stepped out, complete change. Complete change in my heart. Everything looked different. Everything felt different. Often I think back to that time when I went forward and didn't understand about salvation. I knew what it's like to go and not truly accept the Lord. And then I know what it's like to go and walk away with everything. You can do that this morning. If you're saved, you already have. Praise God for it. If you're lost, you can do that. There's nothing stopping you but you. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to anything. Don't listen to anything that he could say or try to conjure up in your mind. Don't think about what's going on later today. Later today might not happen. This is the most important thing today. This is what you need to focus on today. But you see, Lazarus, he had evil things, and now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You see how it changed. And besides all this, there's this great gulf fixed. You can't come to us, and we cannot come to you. Verse 27 through 31, we see, if there was a message from hell this morning, this is what it would be. Don't come here. You're not wanted here. Do not come here. You don't want to be here. All the glamorization of TV shows and things that make it look like Lucifer is this not so bad guy, that's a lie. All the drugs, all the alcohol, all the music that glamorize hell and all your rowdy friends, that's not so. I don't want any part of it. You don't want any part of it. Verse 27, he says, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send him. Send him so he can tell my friends. He can tell my family that you don't want to go there. Send him. Send him. Please send him. He said, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of this torment, that they not come here. I don't want them here. Send them. Send him. Send him to tell them. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have preachers. They have prophets. They have Sunday school teachers. They have people I'm talking about today. Listen to them. This is how God has chosen to do things, by the foolishness of preaching. This is the message. This is the messenger. This is how he chose to do that. Verse 30, it said, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Let me tell you something this morning. That still small voice you're hearing this morning, that's the one who came from the dead. You know that? That's the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. The only one that could. The sinless, perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He went down. He went down into paradise. He was there, but he rose again. For you and for me. You see, that's what he's saying here. If you could just send somebody from the dead, they would listen to him. Well, he did. Jesus Christ. That's the one who's beating on your heart's door this morning. I know he is. I can feel it. I know it this morning. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If you had somebody down in hell that would go and preach to them what this place is like, they would listen to that. You know, I think about how we are in life today. We are so calloused about things. We've experienced things, hardships maybe in our life. We've seen enough movies or things represented, read enough books, and we've seen things that I think that our hearts and our lives become so callous that it's hard for us to really understand the reality of things sometimes. But I tell you this morning, if somebody were to come to you from hell today, maybe that person that you know, just like we were saying at the beginning, don't come here. Would that change it for you? Would that change it? Is it not enough, that still small voice in your heart this morning? Is that not enough? Verse 31, I'm closing here, and he says, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If they won't listen to them, who are they going to listen to? How about it this morning? Will you stand with me this morning? I'll ask Brother Nathan to get a song, at least three verses. Amen. Amen. How about it this morning?
Page 357 in the red hymnal. 357.
We're not in any hurry today.